Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call in Buddhas and Butterflies. We are heading back into houses 9 and 10, working with sadness and overexcitement, and transforming into their healthy roles of harmony. We can also think of that as really well-balanced joy. We can think of that as the type of joy that's naturally allowing us to be present to the current that is life, that is our creative energy, that is our life force energy, that is meant to move through our bodies, shine through our hearts, and radiate out into the world and into our own beings all at the same time, because there's not really considered to be a difference there. So as we head into today's session, if there's anything that you would like to focus on for today's session, I'm going to invite you just to bring it to mind, to focus on your intention for today. I know I speak to this maybe a lot, but I don't think it actually can be spoken to enough. I'm just going to quickly wipe my monitor screen here. Forgive me. Sorry. Okay, I wasn't sure if I had a blurry screen or it was just the way my light was shining in, but I think I had both happening at the same time, which was both a bit confusing, but that's a little bit better now. I completely lost my train of thought. I'm having a menopause moment. I'll come back to it. Thank you for the reminder in the chat feature. Yes, I am figuring out the new layout for everything. Thanks for that, y'all. Okay. I don't know where I was heading with that. Where was I going? It'll come back if it needs to. I don't think it was actually all that important. Anyways, focusing on your intentions for today's session. Oh, here's what it was. And curiously, just sort of noticing how today's session fits in with those intentions. It may happen during the session, but odds are gonna be a lot higher that it happens after the session. So when you hear the music playing, we're resting, breathing, resourcing again, that's a beautiful time to go back in, check in on your intention for the session, and just notice how it reconciles with the information that came through. How your body seems to be, what the sensation is there, that might be far below the narrative that you came in with that's here right now today, that's often blocking your body or somatic consciousness or awareness in that regard. And on that note, I'm going to invite you to find a comfy, cozy place for your session where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for today's session. Excuse me. I invite you to focus on your breath. And as you focus on the breath, the invitation is to allow every single inhale. There's an opportunity to drink life in. To receive, to simply allow the flow to move in whatever way it needs to. Opening up to learning what that is. Every inhale, an opportunity to receive that awareness too. Every excellent opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. Every breath, an opportunity to sink, release, allow, make space, drink the new in. And to allow the cycle of life to simply move through however your form is appearing today. As we head into today's session, we're actually starting with lymphatic drainage through the moon itself. So the planetary energy of the moon rules the body. It rules the night sky of the body, which we often think of the night sky as like above us. I'm going to suggest that the night sky is like your unconscious material that's somewhere here in this body that you get to learn about, that you get to explore, that you get to be with in ways that unfold throughout a lifetime if we're curious about it. And as we head and settle on into the body, is what that was, head on in. The invitation is to allow for that awareness to move in new ways, new places, new spaces that seeps below the level of narrative. The cycle is in the chat feature as well today, is that there's a new moon in Pisces. Pisces is about the intangible, it's about the unknowable, it's not about a story that the mind can piece together. It's not about satisfactory pieces of information that just tie everything all up and make us go like, oh, that makes so much sense. It's usually on the emotional spectrum in ways that just has energy moving through us that doesn't come with a story anymore. So again, coming back to the form, the body, the sensation that's here, is there warmth anywhere? Is there coolness anywhere? And without having to figure out why that is, what happens if we actually just welcome those sensations and give them space to be there, to be held as they are without needing to be fixed, changed, or managed or figured out? What if we can actually just hold them with a sense of like a child's wonder is what I'm going to offer here. You know how little kids are just like often. Before the territory of the wise set in particular, there's often a state of just like magical mystery, or there's an acceptance, anyways, that when parents run out of the wise that like, give answers to, like, you know, there's just something there that we actually really don't know how it is. And no human has actually really come up with a satisfactory answer. And we're actually in that stage, also in the wise state, learning how to access wonder. If our curiosity gets shut down, then our wonder can also get shut down. And we can actually lose that edge of seeking to be with like the fairy tale energy of the mystery of life. Because quite frankly, I don't know any humans that actually agree on how we all came to be here and what this whole life thing is actually about. And everyone that came before us and us as well, it's our very actual first time here in this form, in this body, in this lifetime. However, our worldviews align with that regard. And it's all of our first times. Nobody really knows what the hell is going on, what the heck is happening here. We're all just figuring it out for the very first time. And everyone that came before us, that set up all the traditions, were humans. And the question is like they came to their answers in those traditions or practices around those traditions through wonder, through curiosity, through sitting with the mystery. And I'm going to suggest that before there was a tradition or a practice or a school of thought about anything, that people had a way of tapping into that. And here's my two cents on that. We have this whole thing called this body that we're born with. I think of our body as our map. And all the different maps that are out there, including the body talk map, the Chinese medicine map, the chakra system map, the meridian system map, all of the various different maps that are out there, Hakomi, character structure maps, all the different psychology maps that are out there. I think I've studied like eight or so in fairly in-depth ways over the years of doing this. And here's the thing, none of them can actually really speak to an individuality, into an individual. The territory and the map are different. Maps are generalities. You know, like nowhere on the map of the geography of our terrain is there like this blade of grass sticks up at this angle, and there's a little curvature where if you dip down, there's actually like this little field of really tiny insects that hang out in that little dip. And just over the next little like 3-inch hump, there's actually some mushrooms. Like no map is actually that level of detail on it. And individuals are that plus 1,000 times more, 1,000,000 times more level of details. So all the maps that are out there, they actually don't really have an answer. They're just meant to be a guide for you to explore your own territory. And curiosity and wonder are tools for that. So as we work with this, lymphatic drainage through all the things that the moon rules, it's actually bringing in a clearing of toxins, gunk, waste, of anything that's getting in the way of you exploring information for yourself, regardless of what any map says, regardless of whatever I say or anybody else in healthcare says, to sit with curiosity and wonder of your specific territory. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I love that freedom too. Oh, someone told me they haven't seen a recording notice come on. Let me hit it again. Oh no, okay. Darn it. I'll try to sum that up on the recording really briefly. It's probably worth hearing some of that again, anyways. Okay. Okay, hello, hello, everybody. The recording on Zoom, which has a new setup, I pressed it and then I just assumed it was going. And it wasn't. So you're gonna catch everything on the audio. You won't hear everything on the video, but the first 8 minutes or so, not even, maybe 6 minutes, are on the audio. And I'll recap here. So we're heading into transformation of houses 9 and 10, working with themes of sadness and overexcitement into their healthy rules of harmony and the joy that is our life force energy. And we started off with, I'll recap it briefly here, just for synthesis. It's probably good for us all to hear again. Lymphatic drainage, which clears out our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, for the planetary energy of the moon and all that it rules. The moon notably rules the unconscious night sky, sorry, the night sky, which is the unconscious territory in the body. So anything that is unknown, unknowable, which I'm going to suggest is all of it. Because we have a lot of people out there who map it, but they never really get as specific as each and every individual out there. They don't map the territory. The map and the territory are really different. So even with all the known information that's out there, the territory of the human being never goes into the depth of the detail that has a complexity that's 1,000,000 times more than any map can ever convey. The maps are meant to be a guide for you to explore your own territory, bringing in childlike curiosity and wonder. And we're working with the, I'm going to say, the times where your curiosity or wonder as a child was shut down with that lymphatic drainage to support that territory of cleaning out the toxins, gunk, waste, of you not actually being inside of your body fully, which is the story of human. That's the story of our journey in this life. It's our story of becoming aware through embodiment. It's on some level why you're here, whether you put it together in quite those words or not, but there's something, there's some sort of an ache, there's some sort of a, usually shows up in some sort of a problem that we're chasing. And if we sit with any problem long enough, it drills into this understanding ultimately. It can take a while to get there, depending upon who we're sitting with. And how it is we see it in our own wording, in our own individual territories. Yeah. Okay, that's the recap. And on that note, we're actually also going to work with the understanding that the moon also anchors into the feminine, the yin, which is often referred to the mysterious, the unknown. It's at the very core. It's not as the outer edge. That's the yang. That's the more tangible action that's being taken. The underlying core energy that's behind that's driving that behavior, is the yin. And we can only have the yang be as active as it can be based on how well nourished the yin is. So think of this as well as draining out lymphatic toxins, gunk waste, through the very core of your being, going to the very essence of you. The very essence of us is often set up to make it really simple by our mom and our dad. Our mom correlates to how it is we are in our bodies, and our dad's energy is how it is we show up in this world. Okay? And then we're sort of in the interface in the middle of both of those. And we're going to actually link this to your dad's energy and how it is you're actually showing up, how it is your actions are aligning based on all of that. How is it you show up in this world? We invite you to get self-reflective on that for just a moment. We invite you to wonder, like, how is it I show up in this world? Okay. I was playing like the little Jeopardy theme music in my head. And feel free to ponder on that longer. That's a question that's worth sitting with for some time, longer than this little 30-second nugget. And we're actually going to link that into the more active components in the body via the nervous system and the adrenals, and how it is those two are fired up to work together. And sometimes they can be overfired, meaning that we're overdoing things, we're overfunctioning, or we might be underdoing things and underfunctioning. Most humans are doing a level of both. Okay. So overfunctioning. If you were here before I started the recording, I promised you a story about toilet paper. Here it comes. Just a little follow-up on my last week, if you were here, this will make more sense if you've heard last week's session. So last week we talked about, and if you haven't, then let this float by for right now, about the overfunctioner, like how small of a step can you take to actually just set something that down, like that's like tiny, just like really, really tiny, just taking a very basic step. And I gave the example of having the toilet paper rolls that are like stacked up on the little vertical rod, I guess. And then there's like the one that hangs out horizontal where you pull the toilet paper over and then you have all the spares and it holds five. And I always do it. I'm all the only one. And we live with other people. So there's this like sense of how come I'm always the one doing it? And there's a little bit of like bitterness, a resentment. It's just like a tiny bit. It's not like this major thing. And I wanted to challenge myself to see what would happen if I could actually, last time I got down to three before I was like, ah, screw it. I haven't had time to talk to anybody about this. I'm just going to go do it. We're down to four. We're down to four. So we go through a lot of toilet paper, apparently. But yeah, we made it to four. And that means my next teeny tiny step that I'm going to take for myself is I'm actually going to talk to, I'm going to send a text to my roommate and to my partner and just let them know that I'm actually not going to do it. And I'll figure out a way how to word that gracefully. And that's just going to be like my next step. I was listening to, I was Clis, Clara, Clarissa Pinkola Estes around eldership. And she said, eldership is about teaching people how to treat ourselves and how we teach other people how to be in relationality to us. And that it's our job to actually to do that. And I think of that as also being an adult thing, but getting a good handle on that in multiple facets probably catapults you into the eldership level. So I figure this is probably good practice for me to support my inner adult in finding my way. So that's just my example. I'm going to invite you to connect to where it is you're overfunctioning and where it is you're maybe even underfunctioning. And usually we end up, saying things like we need to do more for other people in this category. I'm going to suggest where are you underfunctioning in service to yourself. That might be in having compassion for yourself. That might be in slowing down. That might be in saying no or saying yes to something different. I invite you, just as an experiment, to switch something up Even if you think like you're pretty good in this territory, just experiment, try something different, just for fun. And in this category of overfunctioning and underfunctioning, we begin to rebalance not just again the nervous system, but also the adrenals. And we're linking that right into the very core of the adrenals. And here we're working at a cellular level with the mitochondria, which give us our get up and go, which right now they look a little bit, you know, when you've been overworking, you start to slip and you make mistakes. It's like they're kind of at that level of fatigue. They're like, yeah, I'm just kind of done, kind of tired. Yeah. And as you work with this territory, the question just becomes, you know, like, how is the action that I'm taking, whether I'm overdoing things or underdoing things, how can I step into a different level so I can actually receive the nourishment of the flow of life to move through me? I could probably start by slowing down to drink some water. I have not had enough today. My throat's a little scratchy. So as we check out in that territory, check out ourselves in that territory, it's linking into the corpus callosum, which hangs in the very midline of the brain, connects the two hemispheres, right and left, and supports us in finding a level of cooperation, balance, and in unity. Wiring us to not just necessarily have optimal activity in our brain, but to land us in our center, which then supports us in finding a comfy, cozy capacity to sit in our heart without having to overwork or overdo, but allowing us to actually just settle, not by means of checking out or numbing out or underdoing, but by means of feeling welcome here within ourselves. And this is actually a way that we get centered in ourselves. When we're centered in ourselves, our actions become more harmonious. And in a way, this is you getting to the do-over that your ancestors just didn't have. They didn't have the luxury, the understanding, the same resources necessarily to be able to step into this. And I'm going to suggest that in a way, they get to actually learn that through you doing it. And in this way, we actually link that through to the entire kidney meridian, which governs our nervous system, to support our entire lineage in figuring out what was at play in our certain ways of not being in the center of ourselves. And that can come out through a myriad of behaviors. We've all got a family history, am I right? Or am I right? I feel like mine could be like an after-school special. So, maybe yours isn't that dramatic, I don't know. But nonetheless, there's something there. There's something there in that history. So supporting our system and landing in that. And in turn, allowing for, I'm going to suggest a capacity to support not just feeling centered, but a sense of, much like a permission statement, I belong here. As in, like, I belong here inside of me, inside of this body. I'm just going to say that a few times. Just check out what happens inside of you. I belong here. I belong here. I belong here. And when we deepen into our own belonging for us and our ancestors, it gets to the root of wherever we're actually not feeling so nourished, and we end up in unhealthier behaviors, things like finding comfort in sources of activities that actually aren't working very well, things like addiction. That could be to food, that could be to medicines that people are overusing, We probably have a lot of those people actually, whether we think of them as actually addicts or not. It could also be too, you're hearing my judgment slip out there about Western medicine, which is also a true gift in many regards. And you might be an addiction to something like shopping, to gambling, to the one that I think we all have as a society these days is to the online something, online activities, whether it's an online game, online social media. AI is becoming ever more popular as a source of connection, which isn't really actual connection to another human being. It's not actually how your nervous system is wired to feel satiated, but your body perceives like there's enough comfort here and I'm not getting it elsewhere, so I'll take it. And we do the same with social media. Yeah, so wherever it is, we're overindulging instead of actually just finding a sense of internal belonging within our own system. All defined by the consciousness of self-integration, which comes back to again landing with depth into our body, which happens with the practice of somatic consciousness, of noticing what's happening inside of us without needing to give it a story or figure it out or change it or manage it, but simply just being with it. It's a practice literally of one's lifetime. Okay. We're linking that all into the rib cage. And our rib cage is the center of a protection that wraps around the heart. And the rib cage is being further supported by that protection with the way that the shoulders and the hips are actually also curving around it. And there's a sense here of feeling lost, feeling like it's adrift, feeling like a sense of, I don't actually know how to come back home with myself. It's hopeless. And it's coming through the judgment of when you're actually being really human and you do that thing where we overreact or we don't feel like we're our best selves to other people in relationship. And that thing happens because there's a part of us that just didn't get its needs met, that didn't get its understanding, that didn't understand what it needed to learn as a child. So when that happens, it's literally like we actually get to treat that like we would an infant or a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old who is learning how to, figure out how to be here in life, how to crawl, how to walk, how to ride their bike for the very first time. And we don't normally look at kids and be like, oh, you didn't ride your bike in the first try. Loser. And, can you imagine speaking to an infant that way who's just figuring out how to suckle for the very first time? Yeah. No, so I'm going to suggest that when we slip up in those ways, if it's at all possible, and it might not be in the moment, but coming back to it when it is possible, after there's a little bit of time and space to let yourself regulate and land again within your own system a little bit more, to actually go back in your imagination and to treat those overreactions as if they were children who are in need of something. And you might say to that part of you that you may not even like all that much. And you might say to it, like, oh man, I can see, I'm just learning to actually see how you're probably really young and you probably actually just didn't know what to do there. And that must have been really hard and kind of scary. And just notice what happens inside of you if you can meet your system in that new way. And we're going to link that again into ribs, shoulders, hips, and support the system in not needing to be as protectively or over braced. It's like the system is trying to protect you from you, from being a human, from attempting to learn by relating to other people in your world around you. And we're linking that to a permissions. And the words are, I get to learn through my own humanness. I'm going to drink that one on in too. I get to learn through my own humanness. I get to learn through my own humanness. And as we work with that, we're going to also unhook this idea that you are a pain in the neck. The learning. I'm going to suggest that we can actually unhook that from your neck and actually pass that back to wherever we learned that, even if you don't know where that is. We're actually just gonna like hand that back. It was likely to mom or dad or both. Often it's both. And as we do that, releasing the elements of both sadness and shame around not being allowed to be human. Because being in the judgment of mom and dad's ideas of whatever was quote unquote wrong with you is actually their misperception and their judgment. And then doing the best they could also amongst their own humanness. So if we hand this back to mom and dad, their own higher self is going to do what needs to be done with it. And that way your higher self can do what needs to be done for you. It's like as long as you've got a little bit of it in your neck and mom and dad have a little bit of it in their bodies, potentially their necks, then nobody's really whole. But if we can put it all together and where it came from in its original form, it begins to find and seek its own layer of wholeness. And their systems will know how to hand it back to their parents that they likely learned it from, etc. Until it reaches source itself, as far back as it needs to go. And then interestingly enough, we're linking that to the tonsils. I like to think of the tonsils as like the guardians of the throat. And they often link to anything that we felt too afraid of to say in childhood because we thought someone would get angry with us. So we end up swallowing our own fear and our own anger. And then we learn to internalize things as a form of trying to protect other people from ourselves. So we shut ourselves down. We shut ourselves down in ways that end up recapitulating, and we over time think that it's actually who we are. I'm going to suggest that's actually really, really false. And that you thought it was true for a really good reason, all at the same time. Because again, human. And so these tonsils, whether you have your tonsils or whether they were taken out, I know in the era that most of us were born in was a time in which they were happily taking out tonsils. I managed to squeak by on that one. I do have mine. In part because I had all the other surgeries happening. My mom was like, no, just leave those alone. So grateful for that. Thanks, Mom. And also, we're looking at now the relationship between the tonsils and the actual sense of your own voice, the actual essence of not somebody else's thoughts, ideas, words, but your own. And right now I see it as like a sleeping baby, like it's on its side and it's in fetal position. And it's happy to be there and be seen and be met, but it's not really fully ready to like come on out. And we're not actually here to rush it. So if by chance your new moon intentions for today happen to include something around expression, voice, essence, being known, being heard, being seen, being allowed, then this might be a time to literally feel that in the body and to honor that in your intentionality as we move through today. And as we look at this relationship between tonsils and voice, there's this sense of, again, this theme of overactive or underfunctioning or underfunctioning, swallowing response. And the swallowing response is not just us taking us in our food or nourishment, but it literally happens when we're trying to take in anything just a little bit deeper inside of our being. And it's like also working with the energy of what is it you felt like you were forced to swallow that you didn't want to? And what is it you wanted to take more of in that you didn't actually get? So working with the swallowing reflex. in the system, and the various different nerves that innervate the tongue that support that, along with the muscles of the jaw and the throats. And as we do that, we're going to work with the muscles in the back of the neck to support the overall strengthening. And it's like there's a little bit of the back body of the neck feeling like it's kind of like collapsed. And everything in the front body ends up getting even more curled in, or sort of like that same sort of fetal energy posture. So we're just going to support unwinding the various different layers of fascia around the postural muscles in the back of the neck that allow for that. It does have a natural curve that's supposed to be there. And it's not actually meant to collapse forward, but with our technology, with our cars, with our computers, with our devices, our phones, our tablets, we're often hunched over looking down at things. So it's almost like we need to do the opposite and begin just to push through the backs of our heels and allow our head to actually look up. Just a little bit. If you're in a place where you can comfortably do that without overarching your neck, feel free to play within your own levels of comfort around that all. And it doesn't have to be big, just ever so slightly. And as that happens, the layers of fascia will begin to unwind to release your particular, I'm going to say, unique chain of adhesions and knots that are hanging out here around these postural muscles. We're going to run circulation of all the healing resources to these muscles, in particular hydration, but I'm going to start in order. I'm going to start with, and not that they have to be in this order, this is just the order of Allison's memory. Blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Excuse me, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down, excuse me, right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal at all levels, immune system, nervous system, then also work with circulation of our yin, our feminine essence of nourishment, and our yang, our masculine essence of protection, then running that hydration, helping the cells to drink in water and joy, release any impurities that no longer need to be here. As we do that, we're going to simultaneously work with feeling overeager, as in like overexcited, as well as a sense of like, oh, I couldn't possibly. I just feel kind of dull, numb. I don't really want to. I just kind of want to check out or collapse. We're going to release both of those. From again, the postural muscles of the neck that support the natural healthy alignment of the proper kind of a curve without it being excessive or collapsing. And we can somehow kind of have both happen. We can have a little bit of a fancy word, kyphosis, meaning too big of a curve, and also collapse downwards. We see this a lot in, it's exaggerated, I'm going to say, in elderly people who are walking with their walkers and they're always looking down. And they have an exaggerated curve in the back of their neck. If anybody does have a yoga practice, you're curious, you can check out fish pose. You can do that supported. It can be very gentle. It doesn't have to be the aggressive fish pose. There's a way to do it with a bolster underneath your bra line. But think about incorporating that in as well. Lots of homework today, you guys. Spring must be in the air. It's like go time. So, planting those seeds and watering them apparently is what's on the menu tonight for this new moon in Pisces as well in spring. And we're 3 days away from spring equinox. We've got Aries season popping on up, and lots of fire in this fire horse year as we enter this fire month that's coming up. So we might actually have the resources as well to dig into the earthiness of the body. This year is the fire horse year. Doesn't have a lot of water in it, but it has a lot of earth, meaning it's a good time to build. It's a good time to build our foundational practices. It's a good time to structure our lives in ways that we're looking to actually cultivate with curiosity and wonder where it is we want to explore within ourselves and what it is that looks like for us. Okay, loves. So we're gonna tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe. Invitation to receive. Giving that breath, giving that time and space. And any of the pieces that I've suggested as practices, as home care, homework, home exploration, feel free to lean into them as much or as little as you feel called to, as you've got space for in your own lives. Sometimes I can get overexcited in that regard. Okay. Next, we're heading into cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're going into dad's side of the family lines, going back 6 generations, and it's on the emotional frequency, not surprising, of overexcitement. And I'm going to suggest it's actually showing up in an extreme form to the point where it actually elicits an edge of anxiety and even paranoia, which I don't usually see in this camp. So this is a really interesting unfolding today. But it's like extreme overexcitement to the point of anxiety or even paranoia. And it was like that was how we stayed safe, was the idea of whatever happened in the family lines to support that. It's actually connected to times of drought and famine, like a time where resources were just scanty, a time where there just wasn't as much available, a time of like tremendous hardship. So in that regard, there was a lot of hypervigilance to try to find what was needed to find just to stay alive and to survive. So there's ongoing anxiety to the point of paranoia that there wouldn't be enough. It was like scarcity and lack on steroids. And it's linking into the emotional component of self-worth, the mental part of me, the mental component of self-worth. And not accessing our own worthiness with as great of ease because of this cycle that started 6 generations ago and got reinforced in generation 5, 4, 3, 2, the last one up until you. And to some degree, it's probably already been reinforced in your own lifetime. There's probably been times where you didn't think you had enough and reinforced that idea, that thought pattern. Almost every human being I know has that one. Sinking into the third chakra, the solar plexus, and it's the working with a sense of not feeling the natural sense of empowerment or confidence that's meant to be carried here. It's like there wasn't enough nourishment or resource the system to allow the digestive system to receive its own nourishment. So it's like the digestive system failed itself. Nourishment was lacking and there was a failure to be nourished. And it led to the sense of low self-esteem basically held within the solar plexus chakra around that all, low self-worth. And amongst that, both shame and humiliation. Feeling somehow safe in the system. Getting all the emotions, paranoia, shame, humiliation, like all the, it feels like bigger ones. Maybe that's just my sense of how I'm perceiving it through my family history. And then we're linking that into the eyes, working with a sense of vision, and that impacting literally the vision that is possible for you to hold for yourself, for others, for this world. It's hard to hold a steady vision when we're have lenses of paranoia, shame, humiliation, feeling like they're obscuring our clarity. And that in turn is actually placing weight on the neck, as well as in through shoulders, ribs, hips, all the physical areas where we've covered all the way down to the backs of the heels. Feeling like there's a bit of disconnection along the entire posterior, pardon me, entire chain of the back body, or the posterior chain of fascia. Okay. So as we work with this, we're going to bring in nerve circulation through the entire back body, which is also connected to our masculine line. So no mistake that it's coming up here in relationship to the cell repair there. And we're linking it back to the eyes again. It's a simple permission. And the words are just simply like, it's safe to hold my own vision again. And I mean that metaphorically, like, in case that's not really clear. It's more like a subtle sense of vision, a subtle sense of that's held. I always think of it actually, I mix up seeing and feeling all the time. I have some synesthesia where my senses are a little bit crosswired. So forgive me. I sometimes say one when I mean the other. But it's literally anchored into like the feeling of how it is you hold your own internal vision for yourself, for others, for this world around you. And it's not necessarily something that we're physically seeing, although you might have ideas about that and how it might look or should look. But it, I'm going to suggest it's not literally, it's like literally not related to how it is you think it looks. It's related to how it is you feel. Or how did you would feel if you had that sense of vision happen here and now in your awareness? It's easy, it's so easy in our world to look around and see what's happening in various, in some way or other, and this has always been the case. I don't think now is all that different, but a lot of people are saying like now is a really bad time. And like it is in its own way. And at the same time, if you looked hard enough, there's always been some drastic big things happening that are of the exact same scale that we're looking at right now in our world. And it's easy to get caught up in holding that vision and holding and getting hooked into what it is we're seeing around us, whether that's now or in the past. And I'm going to suggest this is more about tapping into the feeling of what you could imagine it could be. The sense of wonder, the sense of awe, the sense of beauty that's also here somewhere in the natural world. And when we can begin to connect into that for ourselves, we actually somehow change the, I think of it as like the rebellion. We somehow change something that impacts, like a butterfly effect, something else. And in ways that I can't claim to understand or know how it works, I just know it does. We find ways to actually move forward. We find ways to hold a new vision, hold that new feeling just a little bit longer, or in a new capacity, or in a new direction, or in a new way. And that too becomes the practice, potentially a lifetime. And I'm actually going to call it, I'm going to label it the vision of joy. So, what is it that joy, beauty, ease, whatever your word might be, I'm going to call it joy, would look like? And how can we take a moment, even just right now, to find, we didn't do this at the beginning. I sort of saved it for when it was going to come up in the session. I invite you to just find something that feels pleasant to be with, whether it's out there or in here. And you may let your senses go for like a little bit of a wander. What can you hear? What can you see? What can you feel around you and within you that just feels good to be with? And just that, I always say gaze, but I really just mean awareness, like letting your inner internal awareness or your external awareness land on whatever that is. And I invite you just to allow your system to pause, to savor, to drink that in. Noticing the qualities that you like. What is it you like the most? See if you can name just a couple things. And just deepen into savoring those things. And then noticing amongst that all, how is the body responding here? You know we're big on the body here, especially in today's session. So the question is how is the body responding to that beauty, that sense of something that just feels like really juicy, yummy, useful to be with? Give that a breath. Drink that in, savor that too. I'm going to send you a photo of what I was drinking in a little bit later on. Maybe I'll put it in next week's announcement or reminder email. And then the invitation is to savor whatever's happening in the body that feels good around that all. And drinking in the sense of nourishment as we retrain our brain to notice what feels good around us. Thank you for this opportunity to work together and to connect in these ways to that which feels good around us. Thank you for the beauty that is here around us, before us, behind us, beside us, above us, below us, in all the directions. Especially the beauty that is within us. And thank you for this flow of life through it all. Going to tap that all in. I'm going to invite you just to breathe your resource that you found. Whoopsies. Breathing your resource in just a little bit deeper if it's available to be within the body. Letting that rumble through you just a little bit more. Letting that steep in your bones, your blood, your muscles, your belly, your heart, your feelings. And to integrate that all, we're linking cortices to the soles of the feet, kidney one acupuncture points. Cortices is balancing the nervous system, the two sides of the brain. Have our head brain, gut brain, heart brain, and body as a whole. And kidney one points being the point where we feel connected, landed to earth, to form, to the material that makes us us, as well as the beginning point of the kidney meridian that also houses our ancestors. It's also the point where our inflammation can actually drain into the earth. And then we're gonna link genitals for the consciousness of pleasure of what it is to be alive as a human being into the feet to literally stand in pleasure, in joy. We're gonna tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. And I've got a song to play. It's about 3.5 minutes. It's by Toni Moss and the Bird Chime. I'm not sure why I haven't actually played it for you before, but it's worth repeating now, given the theme of where we've been in today's session. I'll put the link into the chat feature here. Invitation to breathe, receive, stay right where you are in your resource, and allow yourself to receive you.
Yeah, you know it started like another heavy day. The steel blues and the grays and the gravity of all I once held true. I was thinking that the world's a crazy place. I'm walking on a rock hurling through space. I was thinking about the cause of all the pain. Something in the air was not quite right. The pavement or the light. Something in the air was breaking through. And then I saw you.
Got it on rinse and repeat. It was just gonna keep going. Thank you all. I'm gonna offer these words to close. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today as we are, and thank you for being here exactly with the medicine that you carry inside of you, gifting it to us all and sharing our connection in these ways. And mwah, sending you blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. And curious to hear which, if any, of the practices you pick up and how those all go for you. Yeah, you're most welcome. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day. Happy spring equinox. Have a beautiful week ahead as we enter Aries season. And happy new moon. Okay. Have yourselves a beauty. And we will see you when we see you next. Thank you, everybody. Bye for now.